Greetings to the lost and now found sheep of the house of Israel. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from, oh, it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Sun's shining, all the wind kicked up a little bit today, but the snow that we got last week is gone, and we're just into fall cooling weathers and that westerly breeze that blows through here. But we say welcome. Welcome here to 7x70, and we thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And regardless of how you've tuned in, maybe you're listening on your phone, maybe you're on the shortwave, as that's beaming out from WTWW, or maybe you're listening on the internet, but whatever way, we thank you for joining us, and our prayer is that you'll be encouraged, you'll be edified, and well, maybe you'll see a nugget of truth in some of the scriptures that we're going to take a look at tonight. That's my prayer. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this life that you've given us, Lord, the breath that we breathe. And, Lord, the hot shower and the hot coffee this morning, Lord, and the meals that you provide, the food and the clothing, Lord, our homes, our houses, our nation. Help us to remember, Lord, that these things are a blessing from you. That all the peoples of the earth are not so blessed. But your people are. Your nation is. And I thank you for that, Lord. I do. I thank you for that. Father, we have had tragedy here in this country once again, out in Vegas. And Lord, I pray for the survivors. I pray for the families of those that have lost loved ones or have loved ones that were injured. And Father, my prayer is that they would, well, Lord, they would be led back to you, that they would see you in this pain, that they would see you in this turmoil, Father, and not so much as a cause, Lord, but as a way out, Father, as hope, the hope that you are. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And that's my prayer, that Lord, the families would draw nearer to you. That, Lord, they would, the truth of what happened, Lord, we pray that truth will be known by all. And that, Lord, your comfort, you are the God of comfort. And we thank you when you comfort us. And Father, we pray for that comfort on those that are hurting, those that have lost loved ones, those that are in pain and recuperating, that, Father, they look to you, that they open your word up and they draw nearer to you, Lord, as they are down in that valley, as they are down in that pit that they may be in. That, Father, you are the God of life, the God of rejuvenation, the God of restoral. Father, our heart goes out for your people that are lost, that are troubled, and I pray that they return to you, and that they can receive that comfort that you offer, Lord. Well, that's my prayer. Father, I pray that you would be with me this evening, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and words, and let the broadcast go out good and strong, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you. And Father, this evening I pray for my son and my daughter-in-law as they're expecting their firstborn. Lord, I just pray and I commission your angels to be around her, to be around the family there in the hospital, that, Lord, that everything works out well. We claim your promises, Lord, and we thank you for this new child, this new gift from you. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray your blessings on this new growing family. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us, for each and every one of us. And I pray all this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I appreciate the prayers for family. We've still waiting on that new baby, and he or she is coming. And so, again, the prayers are greatly appreciated, and we are anticipating. We're looking forward with anticipation. Well, there's plenty going on in the news. One thing weather-wise, hurricane season's not over. I saw that earlier, a tropical storm Nate made it to the ends this year, down brewing off South America and rolling north, and they're looking for it to roll up through the Gulf and maybe into the Gulf states, Louisiana to Alabama, maybe the panhandle to Florida. And so, as we've reported to you before, as we've seen with our eyes, that since the eclipse, hardly a week, I don't think a week has gone by without some major catastrophe, or at least a major possibility of a catastrophe. I think Irma is a good example of how it was just devastated the islands and then calmed down greatly as it turned and came on shore in Florida. And as a result, the loss of life was kept to a minimum, and the devastation was not nearly in Florida what it was down on those heathen islands. And hurricanes before then, Harvey, and after that, and the earthquakes that we've seen, and of course this shooting, however that works out there in Vegas, just a massive loss of life. And I'm reminded of the scripture that talks about all creation groaning out for the revealing of the sons of God, and that we know that we are experiencing birth pangs in the physical, just as my daughter-in-law is experiencing birth pains. And those birth pains don't just come, and then you have them for a couple hours, and then they're over. Sometimes they go on and on. And we pray for those that are experiencing birth pains to be strengthened through those. And we are seeing those birth pangs in our land. We are. Continued storms, of course, the fires, just all over. The Bible talks about them, and many times I've talked to people on the phone and corresponded, and it's like, well, what do we do? What do we do? What now? And you know, we've talked a little bit in the past before of being disciplined. One of the things that we are instructed throughout the scriptures to do, and when we look through the old stories in the Old Testament, we see that the fathers in the faith did was persevere. And, you know, persevere takes guts, it takes grit, it takes determination. But we are. And so I thought we'd look at Hebrews 12 talks a lot about discipline. What to do. It talks about perseverance. It when you read through it, it tells us the things we are to be doing. And I think that, I know when I see it, it's, well, so persevere. So what am I to be doing? Well, this word tells us, especially Hebrews 12. So I thought we'd look at some of Hebrews 12 tonight and just kind of, well, see what it looks like. See what it tells us to do. See how it tells us to be. See what it tells us to persevere about. You know, we'll just start off here. Hebrews 12:1 in a New Living says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And so each one of us, see, that applies to each one of us. We are to run the race that God has put before us. You don't have to run my race. I'm going to do that. And I'm not to run yours. That race is for you to run. And now that's not to say that I'm not to draw encouragement from you in running my race, and just the opposite. That's one of the things we sure try to do here at the ministry, is to encourage you to run your race, to remind you as you're running your race of some of the pitfalls that you might come across, but also to keep your eye on that finish line. And so, you know, we all want to do well. I spoke about that a few weeks ago, that I want to finish well. I'm not finished by any means, but I want to finish well. I do. As time goes on, as life changes, as new chapters open up in my life, I want to finish well. As I grow, as I hopefully grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, well, I do. I want to finish well. And I want you to finish well also. And maybe what worked the first 20 or 40 years or 50 years of your life may not work the next 50. If it's good godly habits and principles, then well, it should. If it's not, well, then you want to have those good godly principles. A few things we have to do, and it tells about it in Hebrews 12. I've got it here in my New American Standard as well. I think that's what this is. Got a different, my Thompson chain reference. And it talks about in Hebrews 12:1, again, pretty much same way, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And you know, we have to remember that we really do. Just as if you were running a race in a Coliseum or out on the, you know, the Boston Marathon or something like that, if you were running a race, you have a group of witnesses there watching. People would be watching to see how you did, maybe to cheer you on. Well, we have that in our life. We have that spiritually as well. And of course, Hebrews 12 and all through this New Testament talks about that cloud of witnesses that we have, the Faith Hall of Fame, those that the stories that we read in the Old Testament, and they are there to encourage us. They are there to remind us that, well, we need to run the race well. We need to do that. But we do. We have that, as it puts it in Hebrews 12, a great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, that are watching us, that really are seeing how we're doing. And you know, as a Christian, as a proclaiming Christian, we are being watched by our friends, by our family. And so we want to endure. We want to continue on. And so Hebrews 12 tells us how we can do well. What do we have to do? The word is divest. We have to run. We have to focus. We have to consider Christ. And that divest is like to do away with, okay? The call to divestment, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And so, you know, that's what we're to get rid of. We are to get rid of the old so that we can run the race as the new. And we're to get rid of the old habits. And of course, we've talked about many times, we talk about that repentance and baptism for the remission of sins so that we can be washed clean. And then that baptism is not an end, but a beginning. It is then the way that it gives us strength to where we can. It gives us that Holy Spirit to where we can make better choices, to where we can throw off that sin that so easily entangles us, that it talks about here. We each have our own race to run, we each have our own sins that we have to struggle to overcome. But we have to do that. We want to endure so that we can finish well, so that we can, when we choose to run the race, this race of life, of a Christian life, that we will endure through these things, and that we will win. We have to realize, we have to recognize, as we look in the mirror of our life, what hinders us? What is that sin that so easily entangles us? What is it? Is it lust? Lust of the flesh? Is it gambling? Is it drunkenness? Is it debauchery? What, you know, is it lying? Pride? Anger? We have to look at ourselves and see for ourselves and be honest with ourselves. What is it? What hinders us? And as it says, we have to throw off that sin that hinders us. We have to. And once we do that, well, then we have to run. We have to run the race. It says that. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Sometimes we might lose our breath and have to sit on the sidelines. Sometimes if we're running that race and we might get sidelined, we might get sidetracked. And sometimes that happens. But I'm not in the physical. I am not a distance runner at all. I don't like to even be a runner. I sure don't mind walking. I can get out there and walk. I tell you, up here at 7,200 feet in that cool, thin air, I am not a long distance runner in the physical. I can be an endurance walker. How about that? But Paul, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, as he was finishing up his race, we read, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And that's part of, once we've thrown off that sin, even if we have to throw it off again, we run that race. We want to finish well. We want to fight the good fight. And Hebrews 12, we're gonna get into scriptures here in just a minute, that because it reminds us of what we are to do. Another thing we have to do, we have to focus. We have to focus on Jesus. You know, a football coach, not getting into football, but, you know, let's say high school football even, junior high school football, college, the coaches have a playbook. They have a plan. And they make a plan, and then they make a set of play, and then they work that plan. And so, you know, folks, we have to have a plan. We have to focus. Christ is our example. He should be our plan. Where am I at? I got turned around here. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Now he is seated in the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. And so we see that Christ endured. He ran the race, but he was focused. He was focused on being seated at the right hand of God. He was focused on the life that you and I would lead because of his sacrifice, so that you and I could lead because of his sacrifice. He was focused on the goal. And we are to be focused on Christ. We are to look at his life and how he trusted the Father. And now he said, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to get through this. I know. I know, Lord, thy will be done. And that is, maybe perhaps that's more how we should look at it as well. We should trust. Not worry, but trust. Not fret. Not be anxious. We prayed for Brother Phil and his son last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And he said they had been anxious. You're struggling with anxiety and insecurity and indecision. And we can overcome that. Those are, and I think Phil did a great job in confessing those and asking for prayer, asking for help to overcome those things. That's doing what I'm talking about. That's throwing off that sin that so easily entangles us, that anxiety, that lack of guidance, and asking God for that. And we're to, each and every one of us are to do that. We do that here, and we encourage you to do that there. No matter what job you have, no matter what place you are in life. So throw that sin off. Run the race. Focus on the prize. Focus on the end, on Christ. We don't want to look away from him. When we talk about Peter walking on the water, remember, when he was focused on Christ, when he was looking at Jesus Christ, he could walk on water. Now, that's written in the Word, and I believe that. I hope you do, too. When he looked away from Jesus, when he looked at his surroundings, when he recognized surroundings were there when he was looking at Jesus and walking on the water. But he changed his focus. He changed his focus. He started looking at the waves and worrying about the waves and the wind and what could happen. And then he started sinking. So We don't want to look away from Christ. When we look away from Christ, the end and goal of our race, we will not finish well. And as for me and my house, we are doing our best. We want to finish well. We are going to continue to focus on Jesus Christ and His good plans for us. You know, Jesus was able to endure a terrible agony, the beating and the death on the cross, because He was focusing on the end result. And long distance runners can focus, when they focus on that goal, they tell me, I don't know by experience, but I've talked to long distance runners, that they focus on the goal and they endure. And they're able to finish the race. And then the last thing here, just this discipline of perseverance, of having a plan and doing, is to consider. We are to consider Christ. Verse 3, we're in Hebrews 12, so Hebrews 12, verse 3. Think about all He endured when sinful people did such terrible things to Him, so that you don't become weary and give up. We are to consider. And we get that by reading our Word, by reading the Gospels, by seeing, reading the stories of those that witnessed that came after. And so we want to remember, you know, we want to tell you, and hopefully we're encouraging you, that you can do this. You can continue to be a Christian. You can make the right choices. Remember, throw off those entangling sins. If it's things you see on the computer you shouldn't see, then don't go to the computer. If it's friends, you got drinking buddies that you just drink too much when you're around them, get some new friends. If it's language, if there's filth that comes out of your mouth, well, you know, your heart needs to be cleansed. But you need to change that. You need to throw those sins off. You need to run the race that God has put before us. Focusing on Jesus, of course, and considering Him, considering what He did. Okay? That's what we are to do. You know, Romans, or Hebrews 12, the Christian life is, again, it's compared to a race. And we have to get rid of every unnecessary weight and keep focused on the finish. And that unnecessary weight that we have to get rid of course, that's sin. And the finish line, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's how we want to end up. That's what we want to hear. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want you to hear. It is. Well, let's see. I've got some more here. I want to continue on. When I get the opportunity to talk to and to minister to people here that call in, and you know, there's plenty of health issues to go around. There's plenty of economic issues and problems for us all to share in. There's personal issues that we each share. You know, why do I get up and just keep doing this day after day? And I guess that's why these thoughts have come to mind, in that we are to do. We are to do. Let's take a look. Let's read a little bit more in Hebrews, and 'cause it goes on and tells us, you know. Verse 4 talks about a father's discipline. You haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. Now, Jesus did, but we're reminded here that we haven't gotten that far. And he goes on and says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives." See, that's a little different than just become a Christian and live the, you know, just the listening to the harp-filled tunes and music and everything will be fine. Verse 7 says, it is for discipline that you endured. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? I have sons, and I have disciplined my sons. My father's passed away, but when he was here and I was younger, he sure disciplined me. And he would tell me about his father disciplining him, because that is true love. Not this love crap you hear from the world. The Bible tells us father disciplines those that he loves, those sons that he loves. Verse 8, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share his holiness. Sometimes we are disciplined. Sometimes the discipline that we are faced with is that, just get up and do it again tomorrow. But it was hard today. Well, get up and do it. Just do it. Do it again tomorrow. People are watching you, folks. They are seeing what you do, what you don't do. They're seeing how you react to the life struggles that are put before you. And they are, hopefully they are encouraged by the way that you face those struggles. By the way that you don't want to do what you have to do, but you get up and do it again. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Amen to that. Anyone enjoy discipline? You know, even if when you discipline the body, when you, if you work out, let's say if you just do push-ups, you know, the first 10 or 15 might be all right, but then you hit the 15 and 20, and if you keep going, it starts hurting. That's not joyful. Oh, around push-up 25, it starts getting a little painful. You know, when you're running, that first 100 yards might be all right, but 700, 800, first mile, second mile, and the physical, it's not joyful. Well, it can be like that spiritual, but I guess part of this is to help you recognize this when you are disciplined. Recognize it for what it is, that it is of the Lord because he loves you as sons, and he wants you to grow. It goes on in verse 11 about discipline. I'll read that again. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You have to do it. You have to throw off that heavy weight. You have to run that race and focus on the goal. Boy, that works in the physical. It sure works in the spiritual. Verse 12, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And so, we are to encourage one another. We are at all different parts of our own race. We are all at different levels in our Christian growth. Age doesn't always figure into that. But we are to, as it says, strengthen the hands that are weak, the knees that are feeble. We are to me, that says we're to help one another. We're to help one another in this race that we're in. We're to encourage one another. Verse 14 tells us to pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15 talks about see to it that no root of bitterness springs up. Bitterness. What makes you bitter? You know, unforgiveness can lead to bitterness. Coveting is another sin can lead to bitterness. Well, they've got it. How come I don't have it? How come they're the ones blessed with all the good stuff? See, that can lead to bitterness, and bitterness can lead to disease and death, and you don't want that. Forgive, as it tells us. It tells us, verse 14, pursue peace with all men. Now, that's not talking about that's not telling David to pursue peace with Goliath. I hope we all understand that. But with the brethren, with those that we meet daily, maybe that aren't the brethren, but that aren't hopefully trying to cut our heads off. So maybe short of that, we should pursue peace with them. Let them see the peace of Christ that dwells within us. Who knows? That may help them desire that. They may say, "Hey, how is it you are always so calm? How is it that you are always so calm, cool, and collected when the proverbial poop hits the fan? How come you don't lose your cool? How come you're not cursing and yelling like everybody else?" See, when people are watching, there's that's part of that cloud of witnesses that are seeing you. We better focus on Christ so we can be more like Him. Because when we call ourselves Christians, that's what people are expecting. When we are representatives, ambassadors for Christ. When you keep reading the rest of Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks on of the, you know, that it's not like the days of old when we couldn't come to that fiery mountain that God dwelled upon, where even Moses was full of fear and trembling. But we come to that heavenly Jerusalem. We are in that heavenly kingdom. We are in that, well, we have Christ today, and He indwells within us. We have to remember that. We have to remember that when we kind of look in the mirror and see how our actions are. We do. I like a commentary, and this one Bible I've got, it's called Every Man's Bible, it's New Living, and it's printed by Tyndale, and it has some good stuff in it. We glean out what we can, and I like here how it talks about in Hebrews 12, regarding verses 5 through 10, where it talks about discipline and correction. It says, "We are reminded here that true discipline is a form of loving correction, not hateful destruction. And although many of us have suffered painful consequences of our sins, and at times we become angry and we question God why He has allowed us to suffer, but we need to try to look at the bigger picture and see that when these things happen, they usually come for discipline. They usually come because we've gotten off the path we need to be on. Many times they come as a way to get us back on the path of Christ. Back on, well, I like that song says, I don't have it tonight for you, but get back on the road to loving God again. And it is sure much better. It is sure much better if we can do that ourselves. We talk about that in humbling. It is much better to humble ourselves than to be humbled. To do our best when that, you know, to again, we go back to communion. One of the important aspects of communion that we read when we read about the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves. We are to examine ourselves. And judge ourselves rightly. Not to just go through it. Because if we just go through it without remembering the price that Christ paid on the cross and being obedient to the Word, and doing that very thing, judging ourselves, forgiving, asking for forgiveness. If we go to the communion table and partake of communion without doing those things, well, it's improper. It is a sin. And just as there are blessings in remembering and partaking of communion, there are curses as well. And we certainly want to bring about the promises from communion and not the curses. So, I ask you, here we've still got a few minutes left, I guess, don't we? Yeah, just a few. I ask you, just as we do in communion, we really have to look at the race we're running, where we are going, the road we're on, the direction we're headed. And so, talking about Hebrews 12 today, what let me ask you a couple questions. What sins, what hindrances, what entanglements, you might say, what's holding you back? You know, maybe what sins or what just things in life that are pulling you down, are holding you back from running your race. And it's not that you have to quit your job and give everything up and be a street preacher. That's not it. No. What's preventing you from witnessing in your workplace? What's preventing you from showing and having the light of Christ shine through you today where you're at? What's preventing you from reading your Bible? What's preventing you from joining us on the Wednesday night prayer meeting? What's preventing you from joining a Wednesday morning men's prayer breakfast group in your area? I bet they're out there. What's holding you back from doing those things? What's holding you back from just living a good Christian life, of doing as Hebrews 12 tells us, of living at peace with all men? Are you at peace? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting and knowing that it's just been a common verse lately that's come up, Jeremiah 29:11. Do you know that He has good plans for you? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you? Do you know that? Do you live your life knowing that? That He loves you so much He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to give you an opportunity, not to do it for you, but to give you an opportunity to return to Him, to have your sins atoned for by the blood of His only Son in a way that no blood or oxen or goat or sheep sacrifice could do? Do you know that? And do you live your life that way? If not, if there's sin that's holding you down, that you're holding on to, you need to get rid of it. Cast it off. Cast it away. Throw it to the feet of the cross, to the feet of Jesus. He'll take it. He already took it. I learned something here a while back. I think it was last year. I know I've heard it before, but I like the way it was put, and it's kind of stuck with me. And that when it comes to these sins that we're talking about that so easily entangle us, is what it said. You know, it's so easy to have that third or fourth drink instead of just one. It's so easy to look at and indulge in this lust of the flesh instead of turning away. That's what it's talking about, those sins that so easily entangle us. But I think this is correct, that Jesus will put up with those sins entangling you as long as you will. But He enables us, the Holy Spirit enables us to get rid of them and to not have them, so we can run the race. We need to be running the race. We need to be standing up in our communities. We need to be the ones that our friends and family call when they need prayer, when they need encouragement, when they've lost loved ones. We need to be running that race. If not you, who? If not now, when? I want to ask you this question. At the end of your life, when it's all over, are you going to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Will you be able to say that? Now, you don't have to tell me that. I'm not asking a question. It's not like in 11th grade English class or history. You know, who knows the continents and the cause of the Napoleonic Wars? That's not the question. And it's not for you to write an essay about, but it is a question for you to look at and to answer. Could you say, I have fought the good, and this is at the white throne of God. This is before God the Father and Jesus Christ. Yes, he will say his sins are forgiven. That is fantastic. We oh Lord, you have to have that. You have to have believed and repented and been immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins. Absolutely. But will you be able to say, I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I hope you can. I hope you can. I hope that you do. You know, if you're not confident in that, what would it take? What would it take for you to be able to say that? If you haven't read your Bible, I don't mean sit down and read it cover to cover in one sitting, but if you haven't made that word part of your daily life, at least part of your weekly life, part of your life, are you going to be able to say that? Oh, well, I know what it says. I know what he wants me to do. Well, if that's the way you're thinking about it, okay. I get a new nugget every time I read it. Every time I open it up and look at it, there's something new that jumps out and slaps me across the face. Says, how about that? You ever think about that? There's a, when it talks about running the race, there was a, it was in Vancouver, Canada, back in the 50s. Here, I've got the little story about it here. It says, on August 7th, 1954, during the British Empire Games in Vancouver, Canada, a great mile run matchup. It was touted as the Miracle Mile because at the time, Roger Bannister and John Landy were the only two sub-4-minute milers in the world. Bannister had been the first man to ever run a 4-minute mile, and both runners were in peak condition. It goes on and says here, Bannister strategized that he would relax during the third lap and save everything for his finishing drive. But as they began the third lap, John Landy poured it on, stretching his already substantial lead. Immediately, Bannister adjusted his strategy, increasing his pace and gaining on Landy. The lead was quickly cut in half, and at the bell for the final lap, they were even. Landy began running even faster, and Bannister followed suit. Both men were flying. Bannister felt he was going to lose if Landy did not slow down. Then came a famous moment. At the last stride before the home stretch, the crowds roared. Landy could not hear Bannister's footfall behind him and looked back. A fatal lapse of concentration. Bannister launched his attack and won the, quote, Miracle Mile that day by 5 yards. And see, he won the race against his competitor because he focused on the finish and his competitor looked back. We have to continue to focus on what's ahead. Putting aside what lies behind. Moving forward. I've said it before. God is much more interested in what we do tomorrow, what we do today, what we do from now on, than what we did yesterday. It's not the saying we hear in the world, what have you done for me lately? It's not that, so don't get that confused. But as we grow, as we run races, as we increase our endurance, as we cast off those sins that so easily entangle us, we are able to run the race better. We're able to talk to others more about Jesus and about God and about His perfect plan. You know, as we grow and as we endure and as we are comforted, as it says there in Corinthians, then we are more and more able to comfort those that need comfort, that come up in our life, that pop up in our race. Well, just a few minutes left here, and want to again encourage you. Want to tell you about our Bible reading plan. He's talking about that again. Hey, we're in October. October 5th already. It's Proverbs 28. It's a short bit of Proverbs, but boy, the reading of Proverbs this week has just been, it has just been, here we've read these before, we see, this little bit and that little bit, but it just jumps out, you know. On Tuesday, Proverbs 25, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Well, we want to honor God and be His kings in searching out His matters. These Proverbs need to be part. They need to be a greater part of my life. They need to be a greater part of my children's life. And that's one thing I'm doing. I'm reading more of them and sharing more of them. I hope you are as well. Today, Proverbs 28. How about verse 9? He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Why? That needs to be preached this Sunday at every church pulpit. Along with the words that Christ did not, when He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. But to fulfill. Why? So your prayer will not be an abomination. See, we are to listen. We are to read. Because just because we think we've got it figured out, see, we don't always know what we don't know. Okay? Did you get that? We don't always know what we don't know. Matter of fact, we don't know what we don't know. But when we can listen to the law, the words of Christ, when we can listen to scripture reading, when we can listen to exhortations, when we can listen and watch sermons, well, then our prayers are not an abomination. Then our prayers are heard. And then our prayers are answered. God answers our prayers. I know He has good plans for me, for my family. Plans for prospering and not plans for calamity. I know, as Romans 8:28 says, that He works all things for good because I love Him. And I do my best to turn from evil, to cast off those sins that so easily entangle me, and run the race, and focus on Christ. That's what we are to do. And see, that gives us, as we do that, we build endurance. Our brother Bob that called last night, and he called me back. He had asked for prayers. And Brother John on the other line, he said, well, Bob, you go ahead and pray, and we'll sure be in agreement with you. And it just kind of caught him off guard. And he called back later, and so we certainly prayed. And we called back later, and he said, you know, he said, I join you every Wednesday night. I'm certainly not averse to praying. You just kind of caught me off guard. And that certainly happens to us. That has happened to me before. And sometimes you get tongue-tied, and you're just not ready. Well, see, that's how we learn, though. Maybe we're a little embarrassed, and oh man, I didn't want that to happen. I don't want that to come across wrong, or you know, things like that is what we feel, but we grow from things like that. We grow from even if we just heard it, we grow with those types of actions and mannerisms and stuff. And so, that's part of our Christian walk. running that race, focusing on Christ, focusing on His Word, on what He says to do. He says to be at peace with all men. And that doesn't contradict anything else in the Scripture. It goes along with it. It goes along with the Scriptures that say, inasmuch as it is up to you, be at peace with all men. So do what you can. Do what you can. Well, guys, I just ran out of time tonight. Thank you for joining us. And tune in. Plan on tuning in Saturday morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We, good Lord willing, we'll be here at 7 a.m. Mountain. That's 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. on the East Coast for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And then we'll see you Sunday morning in church as well. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to go out with this song, There Will Be a Day, and I look forward to that.
To this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His Word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that He brings, there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to You always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step walk down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace He brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting.